Amen. So as I was working on this message, I read a list of reasons why it's good to be a man. Now, there's sometimes, folks, that being a man can be just absolute handicap. Amen. But I was going to share a couple of these ideas with you of why it's good to be a man. It's good to be a man because you can still be friends with someone who forgot to invite you to something. Yes. It's good to be a man because you can drop by a friend's house without bringing a little gift, quote unquote little gift. It's good to be a man because your guy friends will never trap you with, "So, did you notice anything different?" Yes. It's good to be a man because you can watch a game with a friend for hours without talking and not think that he must be mad at you. It's good to be a man because you can go to a public bathroom without a support group. I'm not looking up from my notes. And today it's good to be a man because at the end of the service, we're going to have folks stationed at the back and we've bought you beef jerky. And it's good too because I sampled it. I didn't want to give out any jerky that was bad. So if you like to live a little bit on the edge, there's the hot stuff. It's peppered. It's good. And then those of you that have a more mild-mannered situation, you just get the regular. So at the end of the service, there's going to be folks back there. And so we'd like to just bless all of our men with that. I've got to make a little transition here from men to dads because it's Father's Day. And so I've got a list here of things that fathers, or maybe more appropriately, dads would never say. First one, "Here, honey, you use the remote." "Well, how about that? I'm lost. Looks like we have to stop and ask for directions." This one's good, too, because this is a guy thing. Never say this. "What do you want to go and get a job for? I make plenty of money for all of us to spend." Yeah. Another one. It says, "Well, I don't know what's wrong with your car. Probably one of those doohickey thingies, you know, that makes the engine run or something like that. Just have it towed to the mechanic and pay him whatever he asks." This is one that I would never say. "Why did you stop whining?" This is one that dad would never say. "I know it's my house, but you want to make the rules, you can. It's fine." Whenever I was your age, we had loads of toys. And we went to the fairgrounds every day. Music is so much better today than the garbage we had to listen to whenever I was young. "If you kids don't know what you want to eat, it might help to stand in front of the fridge with the door open for about 10 minutes while you think about it." Never say that. "I don't care how late you stay out. Stay out as late as you want." "How come you haven't gotten a tattoo yet?" Oh, this one. "Make sure you get all your video games done before you start your homework." Doesn't anybody want to know if we're almost there yet? And obviously this would be one you would be talking to your wife about. "You know, she's right. We are ruining her life." "I think 18 is a great age to be married." Something you never catch your dad saying, this is it. "Make sure you turn on all the lights before you leave the house." Or, "Hey, could you leave the front door open for a couple of hours?" Whoa, money really does grow on trees. No means maybe. "Hey, why don't you bring that ball inside and play with it?" Don't put that back where you found it. Just leave it on the floor. What your friends are doing, just do the exact same thing. Hey, look at your phone when I'm talking to you. This one here, man, this would never come out of a dad's mouth. I wish I had a smaller TV. Hey, when you're finished pouring that milk, can you just leave the jug out on the counter all day? If your friends are okay with it, I'm okay with it. Or this last one. Father's Day? Don't worry about it. It's no big deal. It's a big deal. Those are things that you'd probably never hear a dad saying. There are some people that have said things about dads over the course of history, and I'd like to read a couple of quotes for you. I think they're fitting for what we're going to talk about this morning. It says, "Dad, a son's first hero and a daughter's first love." It's true. It's a quote by Jim Valvano. Some of you know who I'm talking about. He said, "My father gave me the greatest gift anyone could give another person. He believed in me. My father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it." And then this one is a quote from Billy Graham. "A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in society." Absolutely true. Title of my message this morning is "Don't Be a Deadbeat Dad." Don't be a deadbeat dad. And I actually had to go to the Urban Dictionary to be able to figure out what deadbeat dad means, because I've heard it a whole lot. But nevertheless, I'd like to read you the definition. It says, "A father who neglects his responsibilities as a parent, especially one who's not paid child support." Now, folks, I got to tell you, I had a conversation with a man in my office one time, and he was real upset because he had to pay child support to a couple of kids with his first wife. And so he was griping about having to pay child care. He said, "Man, I mean child support." And he was just going in. And I said, "Let me just tell you something, man. You should pay child support." I said, "You support your kids." "Yeah, but my old lady asked for this and that. That's too much, blah, blah, blah." And he looked at me, and this is what he said to me. He says, "How are you supposed to know anything? You've never paid child support." And I looked at him and I said, "Man, are you on dope or what?" I said, "I pay child support every blessed day that I live. I got four of them that I pay child support on. Don't give me that." Folks, as fathers, you and I should be fathers to support our kids across the board. And I got to be very, very honest with you. My admonition today to all of us in this room is this: be a good father. Be a good dad. God has called us to be good dads. Amen? And so this morning, there might be a little question mark above that "be a good dad." What does it take to be a good dad? You know, I got to tell you, it's not about how high you can throw your kids up in the air when they're small. But I used to think it was. That's why Cody came, you know, he's a little hesitant of heights, because I can launch him about 25 feet in the church sanctuary. What does it take to be a good dad? Well, in 1 Timothy 5:8, and that's our scripture for this morning, 1 Timothy 5:8, this is basically what it says. "But if anyone does not provide for his own," listen to this, "but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." So here the Bible is telling us that we need to provide for our own. Amen? The Bible says provide for your own. And so this morning I'm going to tell you that's one of the ingredients of being a good dad, of being a good father, is providing for your own. So I would submit that there are too many deadbeat dads in the world today. Folks, can I just tell you something? You don't have to be divorced from your first wife paying child support for kids of a different marriage in order to be a deadbeat dad. You can live right in the home with your first wife, your first kids. Are y'all with me? You can be a deadbeat dad regardless of what situation or scenario surrounds your children. And I submit there are too many deadbeat dads. Because this is it, folks. A lot of times whenever we read the scripture, 1 Timothy 5:8, and it says provide for your own, a lot of times we look at that and we say, well, you know, if I keep a roof over their head, if I keep them fed, if I keep them clothed, that's providing. And as a father, that is what I need to be doing, providing for my father, but I think for my kids. But I think that there are far greater implications than just putting a roof over their head, than just keeping them clothed and fed. Are y'all with me? I think providing for our family financially is just a little tiny portion of the overall picture of what God was talking about whenever he says provide for your family. This morning, I got some things, just a few things that I think we do wrong as parents. And I'm going to read them. But there's a couple of things that we need to be doing right as parents. I'm going to read them as well. Folks, let me just tell you something. We are in a society today that overprotects their kids. Don't overprotect your kid. Folks, you cannot wrap your kid with bubble wrap. They're going to get hurt occasionally. They're going to get bruises and bumps. Sometimes they could get hurt seriously, and we certainly want to protect them from that. But I got to tell you something. You have to allow your kids to live life. If I told you half of all the crazy things that I did whenever I was a child, you would think that my parents must have been completely checked out, and to a certain extent they may have been, but this is what I want to say. I'm alive. Whenever I was 6 years old, I bought my first .22, and my mom and dad would allow me to go out and hunt with my .22 all day long, unsupervised by an adult. Something else to say. Everybody around me lived too. Don't overprotect your kids. Don't overindulge your kids. Sometimes there's just a line you have to draw and say, hey, man, you got enough. Come on. Don't overcriticize your kids. Man, I'm going to tell you something, folks. A lot of times parents know how to criticize better than they ought to. Come on. I mean, sometimes we need to be truthful with our kids. Y'all understand what I'm saying? They're not good at everything. But criticism tears down. What should we be doing? I can just tell you in a nutshell, we should be raising our kids. We have a society today that makes it too easy for somebody else to raise our kids. That's popular, isn't it? We have a society today that makes it pretty much easy for someone else to raise our kids. I'm telling you, raise your own kids. They're yours. And so in that context of raising your kids, I will tell you this. There are going to come times in your children's lives where you have to discipline them. Discipline your kids. Educate your kids. And you go, I do. I send them to school. Folks, that's not the education I'm talking about. Although I'm going to tell you, you need to educate them. They need to know how to write and read and have mathematics and all of that. Education is a good thing, but I'm telling you, we need to be people who not so much educate our kids, but instruct our kids. The Bible says in the fear and admonition of the Lord, instruction. We have to give them instruction, but we also have to give our kids warning. To tell them the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that's not a Clint Eastwood movie. That's life. We need to be instructed. I was putting this message together, and I'm just going to tell you something. I looked back into my childhood. I looked back into my teenage years and my pre-teenage years, and I could not think of one single thing that my dad taught me that I'm hanging on to today and can still use it. He taught me a lot of stuff that whenever I got saved, I had to stop saying. Come on. My youngest son had to remind me of one thing that I had told that my dad did for me, and it was a good lesson in life. Amen? Just one thing. I'm saying to you as parents today, we need to raise our kids. We need to instruct them. We need to give them warning so as that whenever they grow up, they can remember the things their dad taught them. They can remember the things their mom taught them. Say, hey, my mom taught me not to do that. My dad taught me not to do that. My dad taught me this. This is why I am who I am, because my parents made me who I am. Come on. And I got to tell you, from one generation to the next, the role of fatherhood, in fact, I'm just going to expand this a little further, the role of fatherhood and motherhood, I don't believe it has ever been harder than the generation you and I live in today. And so I know that we have a room full of people in this church that you want to make a positive influence on your kid. You want to make a lasting influence on the life of your son or your daughter. I believe the dads want to raise their children to grow up and to be true men and women of integrity. But I tell you this, dads, with all that is in me, we have to fight the counterfeit sources of wisdom that are out there that are instilled in our society. Folks, society has all kinds of goofy wisdom that they're trying to pump down the throats of our kids. And we got to fight that. Y'all realize that? We got to fight that. And everyone said, I'm going to come out there and amen myself here in just a moment. So this morning I want to kind of back up just a little bit, and I just want to talk about raising our kids. And I'm going to deal with boys first, and then I'm going to deal with girls. Things that the dads need to speak into their kids' lives. Now, a lot of these are transferable. You're going to see some of the same things that you speak into a girl's life that you'd speak into a boy's life. You're going to see some of the things that you would speak into a boy's life that you go, you know, you could speak that into your daughter's life as well, and that's okay. Hopefully, whenever I get there, I'll have enough time so I can expound on it a little bit. But folks, I got to tell you something. It takes courage. It takes boldness to speak into your kids' lives the things you need to speak into their lives. It takes boldness. It takes courage to raise our kids in the way they ought to go. I got a quote here, and this is what it says. A positive and continuous relationship to one's father has been found to be associated with a good self-concept, higher self-esteem, higher self-confidence in personal and social interaction, higher moral maturity. It reduces rates of unwed teen pregnancy, greater internal control, and higher career aspirations. Fathers who are affectionate, nurturing, and actively involved in child rearing are more likely to have well-adjusted children. Are y'all hearing this with me? This is something that can be achieved if fathers just have the proper relationship with their kids. But it's too easy to be a deadbeat dad. It's too easy to think, man, if I just put food on the table and clothes on their backs and keep a roof over their head, I'm doing a good job as a father. I'm telling you, you're doing just a little sliver of what it takes to be a good father. You got to raise your kids. You can't just leave the house and turn it over to your wife. Your wife ain't you. God needs you to be the father you need to be in your house. I'm just going to tell you, I don't think that we talk to our kids enough. And I'm one of those. I can look back and I'm thinking, man, I shoulda, coulda, woulda. Because all four of mine are just about raised now. You know, whenever you're tired because you've worked your fingers to the bone, typing on them computer keys, it's hard to just come in and say, talk to me, son. Talk to me, daughter. But God's calling us to do that. We need to talk to our kids more. Because I'm going to tell you this. In children's ministry, I had this ideology that I used the whole time I was in children's ministry, taught it to millions of people. Just seeing if you're listening. Always be prepared. Have something for your kids to do, because if you don't have something for them to do, they will find something to do. And what they find to do is probably things you don't want them doing. Yes, amen. Talk to your children, because if you're not talking to your children, someone else is talking to your children. Come on. And I would just about guarantee you that that someone that's talking to your child is probably telling them things that most likely you might not want them to know or to learn or to be. Are y'all there? The Bible tells us our words have power. They have power. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Come on now. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. In James 3:10, it says, "Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing." We can bless, we can curse. And so this morning, I want to give you a list, and this is a good place where you can take notes, you can write these down, what your sons need to know. And I want to expand this. I'm going to tell you, granddads, uncles, moms, aunts, grandmas, this is all applicable. Amen? But dads, I'm specifically speaking to you. This is what your boys need to hear. You need to tell your boys that God loves them. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And our sons need to hear the truth from us. God loves them. And we need to tell our kids that amazing news. Amen? Point number two. We need to tell our sons that we love them. Come on. Remember I said it takes boldness and courage. My dad never once told me he loved me until after I was married, had kids, and he finally told me that over the phone one day, and I about dropped over. He said, "I love you." He tells me on the phone almost every time I call him now, "Hey, I love you." We need to tell our sons we love them. He needs to know that he doesn't have to perform, he doesn't have to measure up to some arbitrary standard to receive the love and approval from his dad. He is loved because he's just there. Come on. He's just there. The reason I love you is because you're my son. I'm glad God doesn't have to have a reason to love me. Because he'd have to look far and wide. Amen? That wouldn't be a good place for you to say amen, but that's okay. Point number three. Something you need to tell your sons. God and I will love you no matter what. I'm going to tell you, folks, grace is a beautiful thing. Without a second chance, without a third chance, even a billionth chance, and you know you've got one of those kids. Listen, man, without a billionth chance, I don't think I would have lived 56 years. Are y'all there with me? Somebody gave me great grace, and we need to tell our sons, God loves you, so do I, no matter what. Grace is something that all of us need as human beings because we are all imperfect. Are y'all there with me? We're all imperfect. We're all going to make mistakes. And you need to communicate to your son, God's going to love you. I'm going to love you no matter what. You see, far too often our sons don't think that they're worthy of our grace. They don't think they're worthy of our forgiveness. A lot of times whenever a young man gets up and he looks in the mirror, what he sees looking back to him at him is a failure. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. If no one ever gave me grace for all of my failures, I will tell you I would be a failure. But God has given me grace. People have given me grace. They've loved me no matter what. You see, we have young men that compare themselves, and for lack of better terminology, they compare themselves with an airbrushed society. Everything's perfect. Nobody has any problems that they put on the news, except for the Republicans. They need to hear that they are loved. Through all the chaos, through all the confusion of the world, they need to hear they're loved. We have to be fathers who express our love to them in spite of their failures, in spite of their shortcomings. Next point. God has given many special abilities, many special gifts to fulfill His special purpose for your life. Now, notice I said many. God has gifted your kids. Your kids are special to Him. He's planned out a perfect map for them, and we have to communicate. You are special in God's eyes. He has gifted you. He has given you abilities so that you could fulfill the purpose that He has for your life. You got to look in your son's eyes and say, listen, man, your life has meaning. Your son needs to hear that he's special, that God's created him for a very unique, a very individual person, designed to glorify Him with all of the abilities, with all the wonderful things that He's given him. This is just for guys. This next point, do courageous things through your life. Let me just tell you something, folks. We've got too many wimpy guys out there. We've got a whole society that tries to emasculate men, and I'm telling you, that's not the way it ought to be. Men need to be men, and men need to be courageous. Are y'all there with me? I mean, you know, one of the things that a dad would never ever say is, here, I can't open this jar. Take it to your mom. Come on. I got a pipe wrench in the shop. I can get that lid off of there. Dads just need to be courageous. I mean, man, whenever there's a bug in the house and nobody can kill it, you call dad. Dad to the rescue, are you with me? And dads, don't go in there and go, oh, it's a spider. Don't do that. Go in there and say, man, you shouldn't have come against my family. I kill you in the name of Jesus. You need to teach your sons to be courageous throughout their entire life, because they're going to face times whenever they're scared. They're going to face times whenever they're alone, and they're not immune to the experience of fear. Both cowards and heroes face fear. It's their response to that fear, that uncertainty, that's going to define who they're going to become. Teach them to be courageous. See, with courage, they're going to do what's right regardless of what's popular. And that takes real courage. More courage than stomping the spider in the bathroom. To do what's right regardless of what the community of society around them is saying. You see, and as your son's courage expands, so will the depth of his character. So teach your kids. Build your life upon a foundation of courage. Next point. Work harder than anyone else. And again, I'm just speaking to boys. All of those entry jobs that employers are offering out there, this is really one of the things that they're just looking for. Just somebody that will come in and just work hard. Just work hard. Just do what the boss tells them to do when he tells them to. Folks, we've lost a work ethic in the United States of America. Work hard, kids. Work hard. Life is not easy. God created us in His image. And God is a worker. You go, He didn't work. He created everything that there is. I want to see you do that and not sweat. And I can tell you that as He created, He took joy in creating. And so what we've got to do is work was part of God's design. Work was to bring joy. Work was to bring fulfillment. God never intended us to be bored and miserable in a 9-to-5 job. And I'm going to tell you, you can work in any 9-to-5 job. And if you will just put your best foot forward and you will do it unto Jesus Christ and you will work hard, I'm telling you, the job gets better. I had a job one time where it came to a point where I wanted to quit. I hated everybody there. I hated the job. I hated everything about it. And God began to speak to me. And He says, man, you're working for all the wrong reasons. And so I changed my attitude. And guess what? The job got fun. I started liking everybody. I even enjoyed the work I was doing. And it was the same job. Come on. God wants us to take pleasure in our work. In fact, we should be ready and willing to work harder and better than any person next to us. Next one. We need to teach our sons to stay away from pornography. Porn isn't just somebody else's problem. It is all of our problems. And it's ours because it is saturated, and I use that word appropriately. It is saturated in our society. It is everywhere. And may I just make sure y'all understand this? Pornography isn't just about somebody taking their clothes off. They can take almost all of their clothes off, and it's pornography. Boy, that's popular. It's true. It's true. There's stuff that is on the magazine end racks at Walmart that you should not be looking at. I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on in here, but that's a good point, Pastor. It's a good point. Amen. There's too much stuff on the television. There's too much stuff on the internet. It has saturated our society, and we got to talk to our young people about it. We got to say, man, you have got to stay away from porn. You see, as men, we're supposed to take a stand for our families. We're supposed to take a stand for our nation. We're supposed to defend the dignity of women. Come on, that's what we're supposed to be doing. And I can tell you, we've got to teach our young men that pornography is a trap. It tempts you with all kinds of promises of fulfillment. It mires you down in guilt. It mires you down in shame. And it mires you down in deception. That's what porn does for you. And I can tell you this. We need to teach our young people that they should not sell themselves short. Because whenever you accept porn, you accept second best and tenth best. You not only do it for your own self, but you accept that for that woman that you may one day fall in love with and marry. Next point. Teach your young men to hang with the wise. That's about as hip as I'm going to get this morning. Hang with the wise. You know, a chameleon, how they act depends on who they are with at the moment. The same thing is true for young men. If you hang out for a long time with somebody that has a different value system than you, either you're going to change or they're going to change. And the people you spend a lot of time with, they're going to influence your choices. You make these actions and you're going to take them today. You're going to take them tomorrow away from those individuals that you hang with. You're going to change. And so we got to teach them. Kids, associate with the wise. Let me tell you something. Whenever you associate with the wise, you become wise. We got to teach them. So you need to become wise so that you might influence others for the godly purpose. Next point. Teach your young men that everything counts. Everything counts. Not just some things, not just many things, or not just most of the things. Everything counts. Not only does this day matter, but every moment within this day is important. It's going to generate our future. It's going to generate consequences of some kind or another. Because the Bible tells us what we sow, we will also reap. Amen? We got to teach everything matters. Everything matters. What you think matters, what you say matters. And we got to teach kids. You know, they don't need to be tied down with legalism, but they need to be able to live fully. They need to be able to appreciate spontaneity. But they have to make consistently smart choices. Next point. Know that marriage is a covenant. Marriage is a covenant between you, your wife, and God. It's more than any kind of a legal document. It's produced from our society. And the thing that I constantly try to communicate to husbands and wives is you have to imagine this triangle. And God is at the apex, and you and your wife across from each other at the bottom of the angles. If you want to have a strong marriage, strengthen your relationship with God. Come on. The closer that you draw to God, the closer up that triangle legs that you will draw to each other. The quality of your relationship with God will be transparently revealed by how you treat your wife. That's why it really aggravates me sometimes when I'm around guys and they talk bad about their wives. My old lady this, my old lady that. They talk in a very degrading way about their wives. It automatically tells me what their relationship with God is like. Because you don't talk about your wife like that if your relationship with God is strong. Your marriage is a covenant between you, your wife, and God. Next point. After you mess up, step up. Because we all mess up, amen? It's inevitable. Once you realize that it's a matter of when and not if that you're going to make a mistake, because y'all, how many of y'all have already made a mistake? You've made yours. Okay, good. 9 people that haven't, but that's all right. It's inevitable. You're going to make a mistake. It's about that response to the mistake that is absolutely imperative. Because the response can either make you or break you. And so you and I have to teach our young people, accept the responsibility for what you've thought, what you've said, what you've neglected to do, what you've done. Keep the big picture in mind. It's what you do next that's really going to matter. It's what you do next that can lead to maturity, can lead to wisdom. Teach them. If you mess up, step up. Well, you've made your bed. Now you're going to sleep in it. Hey, you broke it. You're going to fix it. It's all these little sayings. But they're true. If they've messed it up, they got to fix it. Last one for our guys. Focus on stewardship. I didn't know any other way to really say that, but this is basically it. A lot of people think stewardship is just about money. But what it really means is that we've been called to be managers of God's household. What you accept that God, not you, really owns it all and is but temporarily sharing it with you, that automatically is going to heighten your sense of gratitude to what you have. It's going to encourage you to be purposeful about what it is that you've got in your hands. You are a steward of the things God owns. It's His, not yours. You say, well, why won't you teach this to the girls? It should be, but you don't understand. This is a guy's responsibility. It flows down from the headship. Be a good steward. So what God has given your son and what you're doing to invest it is ultimately critical. Okay, dads, are you ready for this? This is what you need to say to your daughters. I'm moving through these quickly. I hope you're writing them down. The first 3, what you say to your daughter is exactly the same thing you say to your son. You need to tell your daughter, God loves her. Come on. God loves her. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. The next thing you need to say is, I love you. Man, you need to get your little daughter. If you got a little daughter, just get her little old face right in your hands. And you need to look her right in the eye. And you need to say, I love you. And then you got to ultimately make sure that she knows that God loves her. And you love her no matter what. Come on. No matter what. I love you no matter what. There's nothing that you can do. Nothing that you can do that's ever going to cause me to stop loving you. You understand that? Nothing you can do that God is ever going to stop loving you. God loves you, I love you, and we both love you no matter what. This next one is important. You need to tell your daughter that she is beautiful. Because I'm going to tell you something. The world is not going to tell her this. Well, let me back up. I think the world perhaps might tell her she's beautiful, but I believe it will always come with an ulterior motive. But most of the time, the world's not going to tell her she's beautiful. The world's going to tell her that she doesn't measure up, she's too this, she's not enough of that, so on and so forth. And it's never too late to start telling your daughter that she's beautiful. You go, well, man, all my daughters are grown. So? Tell them she's beautiful. It's best to begin whenever they're young. I remember somebody was telling me they found a picture on the internet of me in 1989. That was back whenever I had hair that wasn't gray. Jalen was born in 1989. Houston, Texas. Well, actually, Missouri City, Texas, at Fort Bend General Hospital. Man, I tell you, I'd been waiting on a girl because I had those two boys and they stunk. And so I thought, man, if I get a girl, she's just going to smell so girly. And I'm just going to tell you something, man. She was and has been the most beautiful thing. I told her last week I loved her. She's beautiful. We need to tell our daughters they're beautiful. We need to tell them, man, you are a beautiful young lady. You are a beautiful girl. Your daughter needs to hear this. And because she needs to hear it, she's going to find somebody that's going to tell her she's beautiful. Are y'all listening to me? A girl needs... If you tell your son he's beautiful, okay, but your daughter needs to hear she's beautiful. And if you don't tell her she's beautiful, she's going to find some place that's going to tell her she's beautiful. And this is what I'm going to say to you. Why not make the search unnecessary for her? Hey, I already got somebody in my house that thinks I'm beautiful. He tells me every day I'm beautiful. So this is it. Tell her she's beautiful and do it often. Next point. Tell her as you would the guys. God has given you so many special abilities, so many special gifts. And those gifts and abilities have been given to you by God so that you may fulfill that special purpose for your life. Next point. Tell your daughter that she is a wonderful, wonderful person that you like being with. Man, you're just awesome. I like to be with you. You want to go to the hardware store and help me buy some dirt? I want you to go because I love being with you. Every good man wants his daughter to be secure and have grounded self-esteem. I like being with you. I mean, my daughter never had a choice as to really what she did or got to do. She just was part of the family. And so we just swept her in, and if we were fishing, she was fishing. I liked to be with my family. I can tell you, over the years, we've left our children with babysitters so few times, I can tell you, I can almost count them on my hands and toes. Because I liked being with my kids. Come on. Well, you've never met my kid. Well, train your kid to be a good kid. And then you'll like to be with your kids. Kids should be a blessing in your home, not a curse. And if they're a curse, you need to look at yourself in the mirror. Come on. I was worth amen, but nobody did. I'm just being honest with you. Next point. You need to teach your daughter that I'm there for you. I mean, the bottom line is, whenever life closes in on her, where is she going to go? Where is your daughter going to go whenever it's a little bumpy ride? Are y'all there with me? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. She's not going to go to you if all she's going to get from you is a lecture. Come on. She's going to go to you if she knows she can go to you because you are there for her and you're going to have a loving heart, you're going to listen to her, you're going to sincerely be interested in that tangled ball of yarn that are her anxieties, that are all of her troubles. I'm telling you, there was a couple of times I had to really, really, really keep from laughing as I listened. But I did, because I tried to be a good dad. Every daughter needs to experience loving silence. Y'all know what I mean? Dads, we are too eager to fix their problems. I'm a fixer. Sometimes all they need is a listener. Next point. We need to tell our daughters that we will protect them. A young woman has honor. A young woman has dignity. And as a father, I will maintain these things. I will protect these things. I can remember hearing a story about a young man who had twin daughters, and they had just reached the age where he had said, "I will allow you to go on a date." Nice young man from their church invited one of the girls out on a date. So the night came, whenever he was to pick her up, he came to the door. Father met him at the door with a pen and pad. And he said, "I need to know where your grandparents live, your aunts and uncles." And the kid, okay, and he writes them down. And he said, "The reason I want you to understand, the reason I want to know this is because I want you to understand that she has to be at this house at such and such time. And if she's not at this house at such and such time, I'm going to kill your parents, I'm going to kill your grandparents, I'm going to kill your aunts, your uncles, and then I'm going to kill you. Do you understand that?" Listen, I have no problem telling somebody I got a shotgun and I will use it. We have to protect our kids. And you have to understand where I'm coming from. You see, the world will strip them away in an instant. But as fathers, we have to protect the honor and the dignity of our daughter. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. It's not okay to just let them go unchaperoned with somebody that you don't know, that you know, that you don't know. Are y'all with me? We need to protect our girls. A good father's going to communicate with his daughter that her honor, that her dignity is safe with him, and that he will defend them regardless of the cost. Next point, we need to communicate to our daughters that we will provide for them. I know that we've got a society that twists things, and sometimes the female in our society today has to become the provider, but I'm telling you, that's not the way it is in the Bible. The man should provide. Now, when we tell our kids that I'll provide for you, it's real easy to get needs and wants a little bit confused.
"But Daddy, you said you'd provide for me, and I need this new Apple iPhone. It's only $17,000. Get it for me."
See, I'll do all that's in my power to provide for the needs of my daughter. Are y'all there with me? And I know life can throw us a curveball as men. I know that. Life can be challenging, and whenever that happens, our daughters need to see this. And folks, we live in a society today that is so stinking selfish, it's unbelievable. But our daughters need to understand and know this, that we will do whatever it takes to provide for them, even if we have to go without ourselves. I was raised in a family of three brothers, and I'll be very honest with you. My two older brothers are pigs. They eat like pigs. Okay, I was a little pig. But I can remember whenever my mom would pass on anything that was left on the table whenever the meal was winding down. Are y'all there with me? See, I don't want that. I'm not hungry. And I always thought, man, my mom doesn't eat much. And boy, I'd grab it. I found out later that my mom probably was hungry, but she went without so that her boys could be fed. Come on. See, in providing for your daughter, what you're doing is you're showing your daughter the kind of man that she should marry. Just a few here that I've thrown in that I'm not going to give a great explanation because we're running out of time. You need to tell your daughter to watch how a man treats his mother, because most likely he's going to treat you the same way. You need to teach your daughter that the internet can harm you just as much as it can help you. Teach your daughter to never seriously date a man that she couldn't marry. Teach your daughter that her body is a temple. Teach your daughter that she doesn't have to do anything for anyone to love her. She just has to be herself. Jared, if you'll come and help me close this morning. See, folks, this morning what I've done is I've gone through a list of how dads should talk to their daughters, how dads should talk to their sons. But basically it boils down to this. The choice is ours. We can either be brave and courageous. We can either step up and begin to talk to our kids and instill in our kids some of these amazing truths. Our daughters, our sons need to hear it from our lips. But ultimately, the choice is ours. And what choice we make will make a difference in the lives of our kids. Can I just tell you that our kids are waiting to hear? But earlier I read the scripture about our words and how powerful our words are. Our words are death and life in our words. And I got to thinking about it. If our words are that powerful, shouldn't it be more than just hearing our words? And then I began to just kind of be a little bit nostalgic and look at my own life. And I can remember people speaking into my own life. Mentors and friends and individuals that have influenced me in all different ways. I can remember the powerful words they spoke to me. And I began to realize that I didn't just hear those words, I felt them. In the same way that we can feel a word positively, we can feel a word negatively. And so this morning, as we come to the conclusion of this service, our kids are waiting to hear and feel words from their dads. Words from their moms. Words from their Royal Ranger commanders and their Impact Girl leaders. Our youth are waiting to hear and feel words that they're worthy, that they're accepted, they're beautiful, they're loved. Regardless of their choices, regardless of their failures, they're waiting to hear and feel these words. I have a little box on my dresser that catches all of my coins. For many, many, many years, I've always given all of my change to God. If I have change in my pocket, if I had a load of change in my pocket and I'm paying at the grocery store and they ask me, well, do you have a penny? I have a whole pocket full of them. I say no. And I'm being honest. Because once it goes in my pocket and it's change, it's God's. It goes to BGMC, Speed the Light, whatever. But I got this little box and Whenever I have change in my pocket, I open it up, drop the change in there. A few weeks ago, that thing got completely full to where the little old lid on that dude wouldn't even shut. And I was very, very gracious. I wrapped all of the coins before I brought them to the church. But if you would, that little bank, that little piggy bank thing, little box, it got full till it ran over. And I really believe that that's the impact that words make in a kid's life. And see, what we do whenever we speak into their life, we're filling up the bank account of their heart. So this morning, I want to go back to my title, and I'm just going to ask you to do this. Don't be a deadbeat dad. Provide for your kids.